Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's the last show of the year that I'll be doing. I'll be going away on holiday for a couple of weeks to try and recharge the batteries so that we can come back and hit 2013 with all we got. Now, it is December 22nd in New Zealand today and December 21st in the United States, so it's not the end of the world. Come on. Yeah, imagine how many people have been caught up by this, you know, how many people are now living in these tsunami-proof domes in some beachside community with 75 years of dried food and medical supplies and things, like holed up in the mountains somewhere, like living in fracking Hobbiton. You know what I was doing in preparation for 2012? I ensured that I had a bottle of liquor, and that was about it. Because I knew that at most this 2012 phenomenon would last overnight and I'd want to not be terribly sober for it because of the massive letdown. You know, you either got people who are fancifully believing logical fallacies, believing that some alien race of higher beings is somehow just going to turn up and save all our asses, or you got some other kind of logical fallacy believing people who thinks something else is going to happen and come up and destroy all our ass. I mean, stupid, man. You know, I'm going to just think back about how much time I have spent thinking about 2012, talking about 2012, reading about 2012, watching videos and movies and things of this nature, obsessing over it. All a waste of time. If you don't recognize what a psyop looks like. And now I do. And hopefully I won't be caught by that kind of crap again. Did anybody else believe that they were actually going to die? You know? Anybody? Anybody at all? I must admit, there was a tiny little inkling in the back of my mind just going, you know, you might be all screwed here. But how is that different from any other day? It really isn't. Understand this. Caller lines are open. Not for me, though. For some reason, I can't seem to get it working. So on this last day, we would like to hear from people. Nobody's giving out or call in. And you know, what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, last night we had the December 21st party here, you know, end of the world party, etc. You know, virtually nobody turned up. It's indicative, isn't it? You know, it's just me, a couple of listeners, sitting around, talking, having a few drinks. And that's the that's the amount of people in fact, more people than I expected showed up. I didn't expect anybody to turn up because it's such a non-event. Because so many people over the years tell me all these things about this very special, wonderful day that is so sure to happen, that they're willing to change their entire life course because of something else somebody else said that I never checked up on. Really? You know, we had Jan Irvin on the Dark Occulted Mysticism show last night, and he has deduced from talking to people who've actually studied the real Mayan calendar and all of its predictions and all of that kind of stuff. There was actually only one prediction in there at all. One thing was certain predicted by the Mayans, and that was the crowning of a new king of some kind. That's it. No tsunamis, no volcanoes, no earthquakes, no global war. The reason why the Mayan calendar is in a circle is because it keeps going after it reaches a certain point. This is simply the renewal. We're going into the exact same repetitive phase of some kind of celestial events, you know, and it'll surely line up with all the moon alignments and everything like that. It's just mathematically perfected. So worst thing that can happen, I mean, look at it this way. You got a theory here. You got a circle, and it rolls like a tire. So does somehow the universe change if a tire rotates 360 degrees? Or does it just keep rolling as you're going down the freeway? It just keeps rolling. I don't understand why people's ignorance has been kept up by this. Believe me when I tell you that anybody who's saying that something is going to happen and it's a natural event or something of that nature, and they don't produce like real documented evidence to it, like if it does this. For example, how many times have you heard different numbers for how long this rotational cycle of the Mayan calendar takes? On the movie 2012, it said 640,000 years. David Wilcock, I think he said 65 million years. Or I had some people last night say it was 13,000 years. The person say it was like 3,500 years. They don't know. They don't know. If you don't really know, then it ain't really going to happen. The problem is people will just keep believing in this date type thing until the day arrives and then passes without incident before they start believing otherwise. It's still in the back of their mind just going, it might end. Like my sister Janine, for example, she absolutely refused. To pay her credit cards off, start paying her credit cards off until December 21st, 2012. or other people might be, I don't know, quitting smoking or whatever. It's just basically a day like any other day, you know? New Year's Eve or Easter or Christmas or Thanksgiving. These are only really any other days. What matters is the way people treat them. And you know what I saw when I was looking over the city last night from the driveway and all this kind of stuff, looking for things over the thing? I mean, we heard a succession number of loud bangs in the air, probably fireworks of some kind. Somebody let off maybe, I don't know, I think maybe 10 fireworks. It was just bang, 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 and then it was over. Right? This is the massive fanfare. This is the huge consciousness shift. Nothing's changed. Nothing. I got up on 21st of December 2012 here in New Zealand. Oh, it's overcast. It's a mild temperature and there's a slight breeze blowing. Doesn't sound like the end of the fracking world to me. This is just insane. I don't know. Why are we keeping on talking about it? You know, to be honest, how big an industry has been brought up around this 2012 phenomenon? And I think I've got a couple of DVDs and books on my shelf there from people with just this topic material, you know, just this 2012 consciousness shift, earth changes, yada, yada. Right. And they're all 100% wrong. Okay? You know, I know because it's December 21st and nothing they said would happen has happened. So suddenly none of these people have any credibility whatsoever. I've maintained for a long time that it was just a big fat psyop, you know, barely even worth paying attention to, and time has proven to be correct. What people don't talk about is the other things that are going on, the things in reality. I can't say that. Have you noticed so many people with radio shows and blogs and YouTube channels make this claim? Nobody else talks about this. Like, as if they've talked to everybody to make sure that they're not talking about it first before making such a claim. No. Heaps of people have been talking about this. The Federal Reserve, 99 years ago, roughly, out by a few days or so, the Federal Reserve Act in 1913 was passed on Christmas Eve when very few people who were elected were actually in that house to pass the legislation. And then they passed it, and the US dollar gets devalued 97% plus. And now, this Christmas Eve, just after this coming weekend, that 99-year lease is up for review. That's the 2012 thing that people should be concerned about. Another 100-year reign of the Federal Reserve. Now, that's a scary proposition. You know, instead of getting some giant tsunami washing over, you get a tsunami of debt. Of currency backed by nothing. Speaking of currency backed by nothing, I'm feeling kind of tired today. I've been working really hard all year, the whole year, and just exhausted and kind of run out of things to really say and do and talk about. So I would really appreciate it if you've been listening to the show at any real point. Just give us a call, 218-339-8525. Please, ring on in. Find out what other people were doing on December 21st, 2012, or what they think about this massive psyop and perhaps how it's been used as a cover to mask other things that are going on. And what I find interesting is the media was particularly silent about this. You know? Didn't see a whole lot of news stories floating around on mainstream media about December 21st, 2012, considering how close we were coming up to it. You know, it was just not even mentioned. I didn't hear it once mentioned. I just completely ignored it. And in retrospect, for very good reason, because nothing's happening, okay? Why would you report on something that isn't going to happen? Well, maybe they just wanted to keep people in suspense. You know? Sit around not knowing whether or not the world's going to end. And one of the listeners, Rob, was around here last night, twittering on his phone, reading these forums at Godlike Productions, people saying that half the world is bathed in darkness. And I said, yeah, that's because it's a globe, and half of it has sun and half of it has night at all times. You freaking... kidding me. People saying, oh, it's 6:30 a.m. here in Dublin and the sun should have come up a long time ago. You know, people are just making stuff up, literally. This whole phenomenon has just been about a bunch of people making stuff up without knowing what they're talking about and making connections where there aren't none. And fear paradigms. Here's the other thing. What I've deduced is that the New World Order is behind a lot of this. Okay? And some of the other people that are commenting about the 2012 shift and all of that. I mean, I know that many of these people. They're like my friends, confidants, etc. But doesn't change the fact that they're very, very wrong. Okay? I've been very, very wrong before. I admit it. Everybody else has to start admitting it too. If you have ever, ever, ever started telling people that December 2012 is definitely going to be a consciousness shift or definitely going to be some kind of disaster, and then here it is on the fracking day, and you're going to like push back the time, like, you know what was happening last night on December 21st, 2012 in New Zealand? They're like, oh, it didn't happen in the morning. Okay, so it must be happening at 11 o'clock. Or it didn't happen at 11 o'clock, so it must be happening at midnight US Eastern Standard Time or some shit. You know, they just keep pushing it back, like some priest who has foresighed, who has prophesied that there's going to be a massive drought and a massive flood, and unless you give me all your gold and all your virgins and all your ears and trust in order to rule over you, you will be dead, okay? He's coming back to save us, and only I, the one with all the golden virgins, will be able to access it. This kind of rhetoric has been happening for, gosh dang, forever. People have always been trying to manipulate the fear process and paradigm, always trying to make people look the other way while they're stealing stuff out of their pockets. I mean, just imagine the mass distraction that's happened. Mass distraction of all fracking kinds, so unbelievably strong and ridiculous that it makes the mind reel. Why? Have we got some kind of a sick fetish with the end of the world? How many zombie movies? How many disaster movies? How many alien invasion, blow-up, transhumanist, post-apocalyptic future movies do we need to see before we realize that we're getting sucked in by our fears and our paradoxical reasoning that looking at horrible things happening to other people somehow makes us feel better and entertained? You know, we're really obsessed with it. There's death everywhere. Everywhere. All the media is soaked with it. If you're ever watching even entertainment, murder all over the place. News, murder all over the place. The radio with the same news and the same entertainment, murder all over the place. Maybe a music channel or something like that will talk about, you know, macking wenches and buying 22-inch rims for your giant Federal Reserve funded fracking Hummer that you can drive through a carbon tax regime checkpoint with. We'll be right back after the break at thefunnyacewoodshow.com.
Out the door, just in time. Head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. In the car, the wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't do this all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman.
Welcome. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. There's about eight different countries tuning in right now on the American Freedom Radio stream. You know, from Germany and Britain and Ireland and all sorts of other places, even Argentina. I love that South American flavor. Okay, it's December 21st, 2012. You know what? Frack it. I almost don't even want to talk about it. Cares. It's just the end. I actually had the same for a long time. Don't worry. It's just the end of the world. I have not worried about this kind of an iota. I've wondered about it and thought, could it be true? Nah, probably not. You know, you have a look at the objectives and agendas and it's like, how is this going to make people act? Is it going to make people act fearful and concerned and retract and stop being involved in their community, stop protesting because it's not worth it and everything's going to end anyway? Well, yes, it might. And one of the potential benefits from this? You can't really see any. The only people who think that it's positive believe that they... I don't know. That instead of earth changes and things like that, we're suddenly going to evolve into fifth-dimensional beings. You know the difference between the dimensions, don't you? 1D, little straight line. It's just got width, or it's got height. 2D, got width and height. You know, so we picture it in front of you. 3D, it's got width, height, and depth. 4D, it's all that plus time, you know? An object in time and space. And there's some people who believe that we'd evolve into fifth-dimensional beings, where suddenly time and space would become irrelevant, we'd experience them all simultaneously in some kind of transcendental meditation technique. Come on! I don't want to offend anybody, but come on! Jeepers creepers! How fracking stupid are we? And the answer is very. I put myself in this. We're so dumb. Oh, my God. I saw some of the tests that they were giving to 7-year-olds in like the 1800s or something like that. I couldn't even answer like maybe one or half of one of the questions. We are so fracking dumb. We are so easily manipulated. It's what we've basically been molded into over time. How can we make an incredibly stupid, unhealthy population that doesn't really care about anything and will believe pretty much anything that they hear so that they're easily manipulated? I got an idea. How about we have government? That's a good move. How about the government take over the media? That's an even better move. How about we toxify them at birth with like umpteen thousand vaccines shot into their arm? Well, that's a good idea too. But how do you convince everybody to do all the stuff that's bad for them? Well, we'll just tell them it's good for them. Oh, okay, sweet ass. The police are here to protect you. I'm sorry, you know. They fracking cause half the crime. And let the other half go. It's insane. Every single institution that we've ever been born into trusting serves only to further enslave us and further dumb us down. And I am so sick of establishments of all kinds. Every single time when I switch on the television, every single time when I see some suit-wearing individual practicing his varying branches of scumbaggery, it irks me in such a way that makes me boil inside as if I'm being tortured by my own fracking consciousness. Because when you see and know what's really being said, I was going to listen to this radio broadcast just a few days ago, and you know the buzzwords, right? These little catchphrases that they put all through the media in order to connote certain positive elements that they instead apply to tyrannical things. Climate change, carbon tax, global governance, safe and effective, safety standards, international standards. All these little words that sound so nice. But to a man like me, that man could have been saying, you know, in some kind of crazed, tyrannical dialect, pumping fists in the air and such, dressed in a military uniform for all I know. That's what it sounds like whenever I listen to any of these media talking heads and these stupid people that they have all over the airways spraying lies into people's ears. I see nothing but a would-be tyrannical dictator mini-fracking Hitler who has no interest in the public good and only has interest to satisfy the banks and the corporate interests and all the stupid things
that they are led to believe. You would be surprised, if not dismayed, at what people will believe. It's extraordinary. How easy is it, on the other hand, to break free from this? When you start learning about lies in the media, and you suddenly start seeing them everywhere, you know, you've never seen this person before, and suddenly one day somebody introduces you to them, and you start seeing that person everywhere. It's like that. Except, you're completely surrounded at all times by it. There is no escape. Maybe some people turn to meditation in order to escape that. Me personally, I don't favour meditation, like, really, in any way. I've never accomplished a heck of a lot with my eyes closed, to tell you the truth. I choose to spend my time with my eyes open, looking and doing things, rather than looking inside. Because you find if you do things, you learn a lot of things about your inside anyway. You just accomplish a heck of a lot more in the process. I had this vision of a world so dark, so cold, so ruthless, so despicable, that at first I refused to believe that it could even possibly exist. Then the realization hit me. We're not just researching plots of a storyline here. When we talk about global genocide, when we talk about vaccines, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the banksters, it becomes very real. And the tyranny is absolutely in your face. At all times, they never stop releasing new viruses. They never stop implementing new financial crises. They never stop introducing new biotoxins and chemical sprays into your midst. They never, ever stop. Just to have that realization in and of itself is one of the most depressing things people will ever go through. Half the reason why I did this radio show is therapy for myself. If I couldn't laugh about all these terrible things, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad things that rush through my skull and brain places on a daily, minutely, and secondly basis, I would go absolutely, unequivocally insane. Beyond all recognition, I would not be myself anymore. Just because we're being lied to, just because we're being exterminated, doesn't mean you can't have a good sense of humour about it. You ever seen the movie Life is Beautiful? Italian Jews going into a work camp and the father plays a game with his son and tries to make him think that this work camp is really just an elaborate game scenario so that he doesn't realise how horrible they've got it? Think about trauma surgeons. No, mate, you have not suffered and lived until you have been around the many people who suffer and die around you. And these people have to develop a very dark, very sick and perverse sense of humour to simply cope with the everyday things that they see. I don't believe that it is possible to survive without laughing about the bad things that you see, making light of them. There's a part of our brain that doesn't want to admit that bad things are going on. I don't think that part of the brain is a bad thing at all. I think it protects us from things that we can't do anything about. And if you're always focusing on these bad international things that are going on, like how many of us were involved with these school shootings that we're all talking about and spending so much of our time on? None. How much of us were, well, instead of perhaps, I don't know, creating a business opportunity for yourself or another source of income, we're instead listening to the radio or watching TV, furiously trying to gather more information.
And by the time comes tomorrow, you say, yes, I'm going to start doing that new thing. I'm going to start improving my life. I'm going to start taking action. The little back part of your mind says, no. Listen to some more information, bro. Listen to some more of it. You know, there might be something you've missed. When you go out, you might not do it perfect or whatever. That little voice is the one that stops you from being who you are, stops you from doing what you're meant to be doing. Don't listen to that one. Not all the time, anyway. It's excruciating. The mental trauma, simply knowing about bad things, isn't it? Many of us have suffered depression, fights with the families, fights with your friends, a lot of relationship doors close. And if you're onto it, though, a lot of the relationship doors open. It's also very nice and comforting to know that there's somebody else like me out there who's talking about the same kind of things as I am, who's on the same wavelength. You know, there's heaps of hosts on AmericanFreedomRadio.com you can listen to besides me, who, in my opinion, are extraordinary in their own right, beyond question. So the fact that anybody listens to me at all when they have so much other choice out there is quite humbling, and I don't think that I deserve it. I mean, I work really hard and all that kind of thing, but I don't really have a whole lot of life experience. I don't have no PhDs, no MDs, no nothing. Everything that I say could be whiffle. It could be complete naivete. My age is no barrier, but I think this is the same of really everybody. Everybody says what they think, and half the time, what they think is wrong. It depends whether or not they admit that they're wrong later on. Hate people like that. We were watching on the festive occasion the movie 2012 last night, and one of the main characters was having a conversation with the president in the Oval Office about how the world was destabilizing and much faster than he predicted. "I'm sorry, Mr. President," he said. "I was wrong." The president looks to his aide and he says, "Do you know how many times I've heard those words in this office?" "Zero." That's the problem with the administration, isn't it? Nobody really cares if they're wrong. They just want to keep doing it. They must receive some benefit. You hear all this time on this planet, and most of it we spend fulfilling the bidding of people who don't care about us. I think that's intensely sad, and the level of betrayal, especially when you're betrayed from within, from people who taught you to trust them, who indoctrinated you, who educated you, who clothed you, who fed you your whole life. In the McDonald's as a kid, when you're doing the little birthday parties with the little hats and such, all the way out through the aluminium-containing deodorants and sunscreen that you slop on yourself as a young person trying to keep yourself young and clean and prosperous and things like that, only to later on develop Alzheimer's or some other kind of debilitating party-based disease. All our trust has been totally violated. And some people make the mistake that they should then stop trusting anybody. I don't think that's right, man. Your life really becomes quite empty if you don't trust anybody. Just don't trust massive institutions that you don't know anything about. You know, if you know somebody pretty well and they're a good person to you or whatever, don't just suddenly shrug them off because they don't believe 9/11's an inside job. Be a little bit more accepting. It's 2012 after all. We'll be right back at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky.
Appropriate.
Black sunrise,
welcome back.
Be a surprise, cause we don't know.
The Welcome back, everybody. Final segment of the first hour here. The call-in number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. I'm trying to attempt to use my radio voice. Normally my voice sounds like this, but when I do my radio voice, it sounds like this. When we're trying to... Trying to be serious is quite a difficulty for me because everything's so fracking silly. I say go with the silliness. Make lame jokes and crappy puns. Just enjoy every single opportunity that you get. The opportunity ain't going to come around again anytime soon, really, is it? You know, you got something better to do than enjoy yourself? To live life? You know, please explain to me what this is. And how can I get some? I don't know what everybody's trying to do. I know what I'm trying to do. Pretty sure that I'm failing at it. Trying to give a platform to not the masses, really. Don't take calls a terribly large amount on this show, and for that I apologize. But for activists, authors, researchers, politicians, things like that, who've got controversial messages that the mainstream media probably should be covering in order to have some form of an open dialogue about the reality of what is happening inside our nations and this world across all manner of concerns, whether they be far on the censorship list, like chemtrails, HAARP, police state, underground military bases, that kind of thing. To those which are everyday incidents for which very little information is really given on. Environmental aspects, for example, there's an enormous amount of environmental hazards that are simply being overlooked at pretty much all times because of their grave consequences, and it's usually just a couple of people who are doing the job, not for the money, not for the fame, not for the recognition, but simply because it's the right thing to do to expose, talk about, and attempt to inform other people. The difficulty being that you have only so many hours in the day. This is something I've started to notice for what my purpose is here on this radio show. Only so many hours in the day, and what all these other people are doing is they're spending so many of those hours researching, documenting, creating new content for which they can talk about on air, but they don't have the time to record these things, to document them, to publish them on YouTube and those sorts of time constraints, or if perhaps it's a new technology and they don't have the time to learn how to use it or just don't want to or whatever. They're still doing good work, but they don't have the ability to get the message out all by their lonesome. That's really the purpose of the show. So we do the work that the activists can't do for themselves. We try to give them the coverage and the recognition that they do deserve. I believe these people do deserve recognition. I believe they deserve far more recognition than a Nobel Peace Prize winning Barack H. Obama. He's a puppet. He's irrelevant. I almost want to shy away from all of these things that you hear in the mainstream media because it's not worth my time even going into. Simply reading out a mainstream media article online takes a whole hour because of the expansion of into the things that they have missed or deliberately not covered. This is the kind of information. Long form, you know, you want to talk to somebody for an hour, 2 hours. Get their story down. At least listen to them. Even if you disagree with them, you can find points that you agree with on everybody. To this date, I've only met maybe one or two people who think that the New World Order is actually a good thing. You know, these are people who know that 9/11 is an inside job. These are people who know about the population reduction protocols. These are people who have campaigned to expose these things and are now retracting and thinking that, in fact, what the Illuminati is trying to do is a good thing, but they're just going about it the wrong way. Same kind of excuse communists give you. Oh, Stalin was trying to accomplish something good. He just went about it the wrong way. Exterminating people en masse is not just going about it the wrong way, okay?
That's the whole point of it. If the major consequences of a political campaign is the extermination of a people, then I would absolutely, assuredly betcha that that was the whole point of their political campaign to start with. They just didn't tell you about it until after they took your guns when you couldn't defend yourself. As happens with every major tyranny that has ever exterminated a large portion of their own population throughout history. And so Sandy, what is this, Sandy Hook? Sounds like some kind of a Peter Pan villain. And incidentally, there's some kind of a great Barack Obama-shaped crocodile swimming in and about to snap your guns and do a wee little death roll. I fear for the future of the United States. I really do. It has nothing to do with some no date or consequences or the galactic alignment. It has to do with a comprehensive and logistical analysis of where the country is currently at and what has happened to other countries in the world who have been in similar situations before. History repeats itself oh so many times that predicting the future is seeming to get easier and easier. And many of these predictions for the future aren't predictions at all. They are planned agendas. To fight against a planned agenda is much easier than fighting against something that is made up that you have little information on, like the 2012 phenomenon. Non-phenomenon. It puts the non in phenomenon. That's what 2012 does. A whole lot of people, they could be focusing in other areas. They could be going to their city council meetings. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a city council meeting and how frightened they are by somebody with a camera, by somebody with as simple as a pencil and a notepad, sitting there, listening to the local council meeting go on, taking notes. Get those people thrown out. Barely anybody even turns up to these council meetings. Few more take any form of record. It should be those people. If you know that something's going on and you make excuses to say, oh, but, you know, there's a James Bond marathon on TNT, and that's your excuse to not go out and save your fracking city, your country, heaven help you. You're going to take personal responsibility for the terrible things you see around you. Otherwise, you're going to wind up assuming the responsibility of inaction. And you can ignore the consequences of reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality, you know? There's always some kind of kickback if you do nothing. Doing nothing is a choice. If you're not standing in the way of the bulldozers that are crushing Palestinian homes as we speak, then you're not doing enough, according to some people. It's a multifaceted war. I don't think everybody can host a radio show or get in front of a dozer blade. There's certain people who are hardcore enough, who have suffered through extraordinary trauma in their life, that instead of crippling them, has toughened them up, has made them capable of dealing with enormous amounts of sleep deprivation, stress, fear of bodily harm, fear of assassination, wariness of surveillance. These people are strong. They're the best people to talk to on radio, because often they've got a very healthy attitude about life, because they live right on the very edge of it. Many of us are in a comfort zone. I include myself in this. And I think I need to start breaching it a bit more. If you start to stagnate, I'm going to start to get more uncomfortable, and I'm going to go out and seek ways to stir things up, to cause trouble, to make something bad happen to me, so that I can grow and evolve from it, so that I don't stagnate and become the same person tomorrow as I am today. Not keen, bro. Not keen. That's inaction at its worst. If you refuse to improve yourself simply because it's more comfortable to do the same thing you do every single day, it's a waste of life. You don't find out what you're capable of until you find out what you're not capable of. You know what I'm saying? Go out there, try something real hardcore, try and run a marathon, have a heart attack halfway. Yep, not capable of doing that, I guess. Life's funny. It's funny like that. That's why you've got to learn to laugh at it. How else are you going to make it out alive, you know? How many times have you been stuck in traffic or something like that? And you feel uncomfortable or it's hot or sweaty or something like that, and you're stressed, and you just wish that time would go faster, so you don't have to be stuck right here where you are. And you know that even if you get off the freeway and you take back streets, it'll take you just as long to get home. So you feel trapped and you refuse to do anything. And then the next day you get in traffic and you do it all over again. And you think, man, there's got to be a better way. There has to be. We weren't meant to live like this. We weren't meant to be caged or work in cubicles or take the stairs into skyscrapers or any of that kind of stuff, man. We should be on the land. We should be with our friends. We should be with our family. We should touch, like, connected, instead of alone and miserable due to our enslavement. We'll be right back at thevinnieastwoodshow.com.
Alert the masses.
Ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Been upgrading the archives and making sure everybody's got videos and ad-free archives and things like that all available on the same page. And, you know, just looking back on 2012, man, there's some kind of really amazing people. Just a couple of days ago, I think this is maybe the third time I've been on the show, Andrew Bishago, the time traveler dude, you know, talking about Project Pegasus, CIA, DARPA, sending kids back through time into alternate realities of experience, all sorts of different stuff, jump rooms, teleportation. Man, that stuff is fascinating. You get so many people. You get authors, and we even had Ron Eigner's dude talking about Columbine shootings and the cover-ups, how the kids who committed the Columbine shootings were raped by the sheriff who was actually in charge of the investigation into the Columbine shootings. And so we had a lot of Christians on. You know, we had a pastor, Stephen Anderson, that wrote a book about, oh, sorry, doing a documentary with Free Your Mind Films. I'm my good bros, Chris Maple and Paul Wittenberg, about how 2012 is going to be a non-event. In fact, should probably have them on the show today.
guess it is a non-event in that case. And John Perkins, the economic hitman, pretty incredible dude. And during that interview, he gave me the biggest compliment I've probably ever received in talk radio. He says, Vinny, there's a lot of people doing this, but you're the best. I was like, whoa, that's a bit much. Hopefully he was just humouring me. Otherwise my humorous might grow. Humorous, should I say. And Martin Dutray, a good New Zealand archaeologist, is dude who has discovered a whole bunch of different things about New Zealand's ancient cultures and these old sighting points for winter and summer solstices and things of that nature, which the ancient peoples before Maori arrived here used to use in order to keep their sun cycles and moon cycles and all of that kind of stuff and check, know when to plant their crops. The guy's been demonized to no end, so it's very interesting. He's been on Red Ice Radio as well. And Douglas Dietrich, dude who used to work for the Department of Defense as a librarian. That's some scary stuff, man. Talking about some sense of military history or what? You know, there's this scary phenomenon, of bioweapons being used by the Japanese, and apparently the Japanese actually won the Second World War and have been dominating ever since, according to records in the Department of Defense, and to stand down to them. You know, crazy. It just messes with your reality. It's another thing that I find really fun about this job is you get to talk with people every day that mess your head up. it's actually quite a thrill. And of course, I participate on so many other shows as well. And I want to give special mention to both Charlie McGrath and Karen Tostado. Over at Wide Awake News and United We Strike. They've really been good and supportive to me, giving me plenty of radio time on their shows and that sort of thing. And we've brought them on this show many times as well. It's a great working relationship with people who are on different networks. It was kind of part of the reason why I founded the Vinnie Eastwood Radio Alliance, because I've been on so many people's shows, over 100 at least, and I wanted to create a little space online where all us different radio show hosts can share guest information or help each other out, or if we want to do the rounds or meet each other and talk or come on each other's shows and things of that nature. You know, we're all in it for the truth, really, and if you're spreading yourself out all over the place, many people will hear you, whereas they wouldn't have possibly heard you before. And more to the point, if you bring somebody else over onto your show, you might have some of your listeners who like their stuff as well going on and listening to them. It's a reciprocal thing, you know. There's a lot of collaboration involved with Truth or Talk Radio that's just fantastic. You get to talk to the coolest people. The coolest people, man. We've got really big names and great backgrounds and stuff like that. And, you know, you're talking behind the scenes and you're joking around and you're just ordinary people. That's what we all are. We're just ordinary people who've just freaking had enough. Oh, gosh. Speaking of people who've had enough, Freighter X, my co-host for the Dark Occulted Mysticism Show. If you haven't listened to an episode of the Dark Occulted Mysticism Show yet, you can Google the Dark Occulted Mysticism Show, and a number of YouTube clips should come up there, and they're also available on the archives page of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and either the Vinnie on Other Shows page, that kind of thing, but Googling will help. And Freda co-hosts this with me, and we have on other dark occulted mystics. You know, we've had James Wright talking about the Scottish Rite and the 33rd degree Supreme Council. We've had Mark Passio from whatonearthishappening.com. Last night we had Jan Irvin of Gnostic Media. So we're getting some good names on there. I think even Freeman has done a show with us. So it's a whole lot of fun, and we prefer to do it all via webcam. So you've got the videos of myself and Freda, as well as our guest, whoever it happens to be. So it's a bit of a higher production quality. You know, I thought that was really fun to do, and I think it's because it's sort of unique. It's we really do want some kind of TV show, ultimately, at the end of the day. I mean, that's what everybody really wants. They want the nice studio, the TV show, and all of that kind of thing. And I just decided, well, I don't need any of that stuff in order to make a TV show. I've got a Skype recorder that records the video of all these different people. I've got a some other form of account. It's all good. We can make it happen, and we do, with as little minimal resources, which many people contribute to. Speaking of contributors, we have a caller on the line here. I believe that is Kathy in California. How are you, sweetheart?
Hi, how are you, sweetie? Hope you're having a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got to talking to Mitch, and seems like everything's going better for you this week.
Yeah,
and I wanted to say we enjoy your show, and
thank you.
That's all. I don't know if you heard the Connecticut. This was on Joe Joseph's show the other night. I think it was Thursday night show. No, it must have been Wednesday. He had only an hour to go, or something. Anyway, it was on one of these. It was a Wednesday night show. He said that there was a cop in Connecticut that anybody, you know, like the internet, basically, because it wouldn't be mainstream media, right, putting out any information about the shooting other than what the official report says can be held with criminal stuff. And I thought, that's nice, so much for our First Amendment, right?
Well, I talked to Zen Gardner yesterday, Kathy, and he had his Google advertisements pulled off his website because he published an article with alternative theories about what happened in the shooting.
Yeah, and I sent, Mitch sent me something, and then I did more research into that, and it really goes all the way back. I was listening to, I'm trying to find it to send to Mitch for him to listen to, but it was endthelive.com. Said yeah. It goes all the way back to the Tucson shooting also. Laura, along with the Tucson shooting. It's how they're all tied together some way or another.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Her husband, U.S. husband, worked for NASA. The Aurora shooting and the shooting that's involved in Connecticut, they're both the guy in Connecticut, the father of the dead boy. I forget how that goes. He's tied to GE. And he and the father of the shooter at Aurora are tied together in another outfit. And I forget what the name of it's called. Unfortunately, my memory's not very good. It's like LIBOL or something, some corporation. And it goes to derivatives and, I don't know, all kinds of stuff that they're involved in. And I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting that these guys are linked to one another, you know? So there's more behind this picture than we know. And we'll probably never know the whole story, but we do know it's a fact to get our guns. That much we do know. And
I think the details become irrelevant after you realize what the enemy objective is. If the enemy objective is to get your guns, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, that's the objective, yeah. And, I've always said, you know, our guns don't mean anything anyway compared to what they have. I mean, if they have a canon, we're supposed to have a canon. That's how the forefathers meant it, you know. You know, the right to bear arms. They didn't say what kind of arms, just arms, you know. We should be able to carry anything.
I think it was some particular reference in the Second Amendment to a well-regulated militia. If you were a man from the age of 17 to 34, I believe, you were at any point could be either deputized by a local sheriff or you could be inducted into a militia in order to defend the country, either from enemies from without or within. And they're meant to have rifles and any form of ammunition or armaments they really could afford or wanted, but it was not entirely. I'm not 100% sure on this, but if you have a look at, say, Switzerland, firearms are basically mandatory. Everybody got some machine gun in their house. Everybody.
You know how many
burglaries there are? You know how many burglaries there were in Switzerland last year? Zero.
Probably none. You know why?
Right? A whole country, not a single home invasion. Because every criminal knows that if you go into somebody's house, they are guaranteed to be capable of killing you. If you go into some old lady's house and she's got nothing but a phone to protect her, you're going to not think twice about that.
Right. And you know why that happens in Switzerland? That's where the Vatican Bank is. Think about it.
It's because the Swiss army, you know how you've got the Swiss army knife, they have no formal regiment militia type structure, like no full-time soldiers. Everybody's simply required to put in a certain amount of service every year, and the service is tailored to your age and physical condition. For example, if you're a bit older, you'll do cooking or cleaning or some sort of remedial task that's more suited to your physical condition, whereas when you're young, you're required to keep physically fit, and you do training every year. And the reason why there's a submachine gun in everybody's house is because the military can simply be called to arms, because everybody's unofficially a part of it. Just as soon as they get invaded, they blow every bridge and they stage a guerrilla war. Okay, and no country's ever invaded them.
The Nichols, you know, guys that were supposed to be behind the Timmy McVeigh thing and William Cooper, they were all part of a militia, and they all got taken out. That's exactly what happened there. I believe Timothy McVeigh could still be alive if they haven't killed him. Where they would have killed him would have been Australia, because after he supposedly got executed, which he didn't, they moved him to Australia. And
They moved him to Australia?
Yeah. He did not die by injection. They put the needle in his toe. Witnesses said he was still breathing, and that was on the internet for a long time, and I should have printed it out, and I didn't. But the witnesses there said that he was still breathing when they pronounced him dead. And since when do they up executions? They always delay them. They never up them. This was the first time it was ever upped, you know, the execution date. And, you know, too many firsts for me here, you know? But anyway, we know he didn't do the Oklahoma bombing anyway. He was just a patsy like Oswald or whatever, but he was in special ops too. So I think they took him and gave him a new ID and sent him to Australia. He could still be alive and, you know, moving around somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
With a new
He could be drinking a Darwin stubby as we speak, killing cane toads with a knife attached to a metal rod for all we know.
Yeah, could be. You know, either that, or when they get through with them, too, though, they tend to knock them off, you know, when they don't need them anymore.
Yeah, so I mean, why would they keep them alive? Why would they even take them to Australia? I mean, it just doesn't sound realistic to me. And, you know, I'd have to see some kind of evidence on that. I got this real kind of beef for some reason now, Kathy, with saying things that you don't know for a fact and have looked at the documentation and stuff to be real. But we all do it all the time, don't we? And we can't help ourselves. People are like a nice little rumor mill, don't you think, Kathy? Yeah. All right. Well, Kathy, thank you very much for your call. And you have yourself a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Age.
You're here. I'm not
going to wait. All right. Thanks, Kathy. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. 218-339-8525 is the number to the ring.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share.
Welcome
man
back.
I've been everywhere.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. This will be the last time you can hear me this year live. I think I will be taking a significant break because Lord knows I need it. I have done so many interviews, made so many videos, broken so many records, been on so many other people's shows, that I am just burnt out like a Christmas turkey that's been unattended for 16 hours in a hot oven. Oh, thank goodness it's going to be over soon. That's all I'll say. Talk radio can be really exhausting. I put that lightly. And then occurs to me, it's just like any other job. By the end of the year, you just want to take your holidays as soon as possible. But no matter how soon the holiday is, it's never soon enough. And no matter how long a holiday you take, it's never long enough. Always going to be doing something. I don't know. I don't know what the issue was here with employment, self-employment or whatever. We've all got to somehow, in order to get ahead, really bust our asses at something so that life is a struggle. You know? You have to work harder than you'd ever really want to in order to get ahead in this world. Most people don't want to do that. They just want to work the minimal amount and have a comfortable life so that they have spare time on their hands to do things that they enjoy, you know, spend with their families or whatever. There's an element of awesomeness to that, I must say. Without stable families and lives and things like that, society as we know it would kind of cease to exist. It'd be pretty sad, wouldn't it? Got a caller on the line here. And it is in a 760 area code. Welcome to the show. I'd love your first name and perhaps the state you're calling from, if that's okay.
My name is Mitch, and I'm calling from California. But you know me as your somewhat fabulous producer. Congratulations, Vinny, on a great season.
Yeah, she has been a great season indeed.
So I wanted to congratulate you and let you know that we now have for the Vinnie Eastwood Show for 2013 an American phone number so people can call us anytime, day or night.
What is that phone number, Mitch?
Are you ready? And so if anybody wants to make a donation to Vinnie, if you want to sponsor the show, if you have a radio station you want to bring to American Freedom Radio, you can reach us at area code 760-330-5341. That's 760-330-5341.
I'm glad to see there's a 33 in that number.
We did that on purpose, Vinny.
Of course. There are no coincidences. Hey, you know, I've been seeing the number 33 all over the place. You know? Movies,
really?
Television, all of that. Yeah. Seriously. It's quite funny.
You know, whenever there's a scene in a movie where somebody's embezzled something or spent an inordinate amount of cash on a military piece of equipment, or perhaps it's a body count after some kind of terrorist event or something, it's 33 bodies. We spent $33 million on the deficit of the military spending. We had $33,000 embezzled by this particular person. And it's happening like quite often. And I even watched this movie called Street Kings with Keanu Reeves and Forrest Whitaker. And he's coming up to this apartment to see these two cop killers. And right on the lampshade, in full, in the focal point of the camera, as they're coming up, as they're ascending a staircase into a well-lit room, mind you, there is the all-seeing eye of the Illuminati on that lampshade, and all the lampshades in the entire apartment are completely identical on the wall, but only that one in the center of the of the focal frame had the all-seeing eye on it. And, you know,
wow.
This stuff is not accidental. Every single episode of Family Guy that I have seen has a black and white Masonic floor on it. Every wow. single one.
You know what amazes me? All. What amazes me, Vinny, is that with each guest that you've had on the Vinny Eastwood Show throughout 2012, how many of the stories are similar. You know what I mean? Like, Zen Gardner did a great job on your show yesterday. And he was talking about how everything is so compartmentalized.
It really is. I think, and kind of detach it from everybody. I think if people aren't playing a real role and they don't understand the importance of their role, they kind of slack off. And they're very much more easier to control because they don't question or really care what they're being ordered to do. I think that's probably why police have an upper limit on IQ on their tests. I'm not kidding about this, Mitch. One of my mates, Gavin, he bought me some duty-free liquor and cigarettes over from Australia, and I put him up on my couch for the night because other than that, he would have had to stay in the fracking Australia, the Auckland airport for the night, waiting 9 hours to catch a flight in the morning. Frack that. So, bro, come and crash on my couch. And he took a policeman's exam once, and he said... My IQ was too high. They said, I'm sorry, you'd go crazy as a police officer. Go seek employment elsewhere. And I don't want wow. intelligent people enforcing BS laws, do they? Intelligent people wow. question things. Morons don't.
Well, I'll tell you, of all the stories that have happened in 2012, I think the one that has touched my heart the most in terms of being a father has been the militarization of local police departments across America. And every day I'm constantly receiving, as your producer, some video, some story of some American who's had their civil rights violated. Most recently, these two women in their 20s are now filing sexual assault charges against another woman officer who did a totally inappropriate cavity search on them on a public highway.
Yeah, I heard this real bad story one time. One of my listeners, I think, James in Brooklyn, his flatmate was freaking out for ages about the story. Some dude had been pulled over at a random checkpoint in Texas, and he'd refused to give him a blood sample. And so they arrested him. They took him back to the station, and they shoved a DNA sampler down the shaft of his penis and took a sample.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Not kidding you, man. All right. And James's flatmate was so freaked out by this man. He's walking around. Oh, my God. They're going to shove a needle down my knob. Oh, God. You know, running around, arms flailing in the air, you know, just like the horror movies and things like that. And I said, okay, here's how you deal with this really horrific reality. Immediately, look inside your pants. All right. Now, is there anything untoward going on in there? No. Well, thank God. Thank God it wasn't yours.
Oh, my God. Well,
sometimes you just kind of have to be reminded that at least it's not happening to me just yet. I don't have to freak out about it that much.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like I call it the American Fourth Reich anxiety report. And you've been such a blessing to my family and to my life, and I know, Vinny, to all your listeners, because you just keep us calm in a world that's going really freaking nuts right now, man.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's have you ever heard of the joke about the great clown Poliachi?
No.
Dude goes into a doctor's office, says he's depressed, that he's all alone in a world that seems dark and frightening and heartless. And the doctor says the remedy is simple. You must go see the great clown Poliachi, and he'll pick you up. And the man bursts into tears. He says, "The doctor, I am Poliachi."
God. Oh, man.
Well, so that's how I feel like sometimes, man. I'm Poliachi. Make me laugh. Oh.
You know how many times someone has called you on a Skype call or on the phone and they've had some incident or some personal thing in their life and they like basically apologize to you because then they realize that everything you've been saying for the last 5 years is actually happening.
Yeah. I can't take credit for it though, bro. I'm just you know what? I feel like sometimes I'm just mindlessly repeating what other people who I think have got more credibility than me have said. It just turns out that they were correct, luckily enough for me.
No, I understand. I understand. But you have some really interesting insights, and I'll tell you, for someone who's 27, about to turn 28, you're really onto it, man. You have, you know, I consider you a truther therapist because you're kind of the place where everybody goes, where once they wake up, then it's like they want to go on the Vinny Eastwood show. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do love having people on that have, had, attempts on their lives or death threats or huge quantities of demonization in their lives and exposed the most horrific realities that have ever really been experienced by mankind and written books about the such. And to have them come on the show and get them laughing, I think that makes me feel really good.
Yeah, it's a really good thing. You've had some guests on your show that I've never heard laugh until they came on your show.
I think I'm the only one whose objective is actually to get the host to laugh. I think everybody else's objective is to get more information out of them. But interestingly enough, because I'm trying to get them laugh, they try to bring out more information instead.
I understand. Has there been any story in 2012, Vinny, that has shocked you?
Other than every story?
Is there a particular story that came out this year?
Not really. No, seriously. The world's all one big kettle of horrific crap going on every single day. I can't be bothered filling my head full of that crap. Honestly.
I understand. Well,
The years passed, and maybe I'm selfishly, very selfishly, mind you, looking back on this year through my eyes only and not thinking about the events that have happened around this planet, but instead just thinking about, you know, what my achievements have been, how much the audience has grown, how many great new guests have come on the show. I think that's really sick. Wait, did Gaddafi get assassinated? Was that this year?
Was
that this year or last year? I forget.
That who was assassinated?
Gaddafi. You know, Libya?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to say this year, earlier in the year. Yeah, they went to Yemen. Now they're in Syria. They went to Libya. They destroyed one of the largest natural water reserves in the world. It's been taken out.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole incident with Gaddafi, that does strike a chord with me. We also had the New Zealand elections earlier on this year, didn't we? And
yep.
or that was last year, wasn't it? Towards the end of last year. I don't know.
Well, I Well, I'll tell you the big, as an American living in New Zealand, the biggest thing that shocked me is the way they are slamming through this Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, Vinny. It is unbelievable.
Well, I was there with the police actually physically doing the slamming through of the TPPA.
I understand. So,
that was the cool thing about having a GoPro camera. It was like adventure protesting, you know?
Wow.
It's like, the camera's called a GoPro, right? And everybody's using it on snowboards. And I decided, hey, it would be a good idea to actually use this in protesting. And it looks so cool, man. And I wonder if we like contact GoPro and Sony and all of that kind of stuff and say, hey, can we do a website, goprotesting.com, where people doing their protesting with a GoPro camera, right? You know?
We could have arrested Vinnie Eastwood listeners in jail with their GoPro camera, you know, being filmed.
Yeah. Or have a shoulder-mounted one in the front of them, like when they're having all their stuff taken off them, their shoelaces, their necklaces, and their cell phones and that kind of thing, when they're being fingerprinted, you know? It'll be like that movie Requiem for a Dream, except you're exposing scumbaggery and getting thrown in jail and having all your liberties taken off you as a direct result.
You know what I'm excited about, Vinny?
You're excited about everything in general, Mitch. I scarcely could guess.
Well, I'm excited that now that it's December 22nd in New Zealand, which means it's December 21st in America, after today, I never want to talk to another New Ager again. Never again.
Yes. But unfortunately, they didn't all commit mass suicide as we'd hoped. But so they'll still be around somewhere. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Mitch was somewhat fabulous producer. Thank you for your call. We'll be right back, folks.
Bonkers.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I don't think I'll really get another chance at this. And so, seeing as it's the last show of the year, me being the self-promotional acrobat I am, I want to encourage people to subscribe, $5 a month, if you please, or if you're already subscribed for $5 a month. Think about maybe upping it to $10 a month, maybe $20 a month. Not that I'm not appreciative. Having more resources allows me to do more, get out to different places, things of that nature, and create more content. And sure enough, as the donations and subscriptions have been rising, so have the sheer volume of radio shows and videos that have been edited and getting published on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm producing maybe four times as much content in 2012 per day than I was doing maybe in 2010 when I first began this radio show. I've really, really upped my fracking game here, people, and the only reason I'm able to do that in any way, shape, and form is because of the donations and the subscriptions. Ultimately, there's occasionally a product gets sold off the website and stuff like that, but it's people just giving without any thought of return that is the real thing that backs this show. It's the thing that pays these internet bills. It's the thing that gets me enough gas money to go to protests and things of that nature. It keeps me fed. It keeps me alive so that I can keep trying to protect other life, more or less. That's my mission anyway. So without further ado, I've got a song for you. Me and my friend Mikhail is a good listener to the show and a good friend of mine, and we get together and we have jams and create music together. So we're going to play a song for you now. This one's called It's All Coming Down. We're not professional musicians or anything like that. We just kind of sing and play and do what we can with whatever we've got. So I hope you enjoy this little one here.
Yeah.
going down. rise from the glare as it all comes down. It's all coming down. It's coming back around. I see it coming. Coming down, coming down, coming down, coming down, coming down, coming down, coming down.
Hope you enjoyed that, ladies and gentlemen. I've been listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show for years, some of you, and not all of you know that I'm also a bit of a musician. Kind of, most of that song just came off the top of my head, and that's how we do music, really. Start singing, and a song comes out. It's kind of like being in touch. Now, if anybody liked that, what we really need is kind of like other musicians or other people who are better at kind of technical issues and things of that nature. You know, other singers who want to do the song instead. You know, it'd be cool. I have this idea called digital busking, right? You do your original songs, you go out in the street, you film yourself busking. Then you upload the video, and then you have a link to your PayPal account, and so that people can go to your busking video and then chuck you a couple of bucks through the PayPal. Wouldn't that be cool? Be able to give musicians a little bit of a thing. I'm always thinking about some scheme or another. I don't know however many of them accomplish them. It's been a good year. My New Year's resolution was 2012. Time to stop fracking around. Believe you me, did I stop fracking around. This has been probably the most productive year of my entire life. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much to all the guests who have come on and given us some of their knowledge and part of their life's work for us to chew and mull over. And thank you to all you listeners who tune in all the time to give me your support in any way you can, who join in the after the show chats. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being cool. Thank you for listening to American Freedom Radio and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Words cannot express, and I am a wordsman, how much indebtedness I feel. I feel like a slave to you people, a willing servant. Kind of slave. And I can't wait to do it again. So next year, ladies and gentlemen, in 2013, we'll be coming back with all new shows, all new discussions, and a whole bunch of new things as well that I haven't even thought of yet, and I'll be doing that thinking, that planning, that scumbaggery machination over the holidays so I can deliver you a better show and a better me so that we can all have a better world. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you again sometime.